Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Social distance, podcast, antiques, time, money, space.
Wow, we really covered a lot there, didn't we? So what are we talking about this week?
I was going to talk about a fun little thing, Chinese snuff bottles.
Okay. Do tell.
This one has to be really granular because, as it turns out, there are different kinds of snuff bottles and snuff boxes because snuff was really big for a while.
It was. It features in every single Georgette Heyer novel.
Man, Georgette Heyer does snuff?
Because everyone in England between the years of like 1700 and 1900 was carrying a snuff box.
Well, yeah, so the Chinese snuff bottles are actually what I'm more familiar with. I've met more people who collect those, so I figured I'd get into those first, and maybe we'll get the other some other time.
All right.
So I should start with what snuff is. Snuff is a really finely ground powdered tobacco that you snort like cocaine.
It's great for you.
It's so good for you. It was often, like, cut with herbs and spices because it was one of those stimulants that people liked to pretend was medicine. Apparently because specifically it made you sneeze, and they were like, well, it's gotta be good for you.
Yeah, it gets the bad ghosts out of your nose. Makes you sneeze.
Yeah. When you sneeze, you get all the ghosts out. So, like, if I snort tobacco, that's wicked good for me.
Yes. For sure. That's just science. And science, frankly, does not care about your feelings.
Really doesn't. So the Portuguese, possibly, maybe someone else. There seems to be some difficulty about whether it was the Portuguese, the Vikings, or the Dutch that introduced tobacco to China. Or the Japanese, they might have also done it. But the Japanese might have done it because the Portuguese introduced it to them.
So at some point...
At some point in the 16th century, China got into tobacco.
All right.
But smoking tobacco was really passé, and by the Qing dynasty, it was actively illegal.
Okay.
So, around 1684, the Jesuits showed up.
As they do.
Yeah, the Jesuits were, like, desperate to get into the Forbidden City.
Just because it was forbidden?
Possibly a mixture of because they wanted to colonize in a religious fashion very badly, and because the Jesuits really liked artisanry and science, and China was very good at that. So, like, probably a blend of those two things where they could proselytize the religion and get into a lot of artisan styles that they hadn't been able to encounter before. So when they showed up trying to get entry into the Forbidden City, they gave Emperor Kangxi, so they gave him a snuff box full of snuff, and he was like, this box is trash, they're kind of up in northern China, it's super humid, the powder is going to be like a melty mess in like 10 minutes. But he does like the snuff, so he ends up starting to snort the stuff in traditional medicine bottles. You can hear how bad I wanted to say traditional medicinals because it's like one of my favorite teas. So the traditional medicine bottles, they used those because they were small and had a really, like, thin neck, and you could seal them up real tight against humidity.
Right on.
So, smoking tobacco is illegal, and it's also gross, and nobody likes it, but snuff is medicine. So, what do you do with medicine? You keep it in cute little bottles.
So it's kind of a prohibition creates bitters situation.
Exactly. It's very similar. Actually, a lot of times when I was reading about this, I kind of kept coming back later to your pocket nutmeg grinders.
Oh, yes.
Because unlike bitters, snuff and snuff bottles really quickly became a rich and elite hip social thing. Very similar to the nutmeg grinders. If you don't know what we're talking about, feel free to go back to our episode on nutmeg grinders. So it's pretty much only people in the emperor's court did snuff, because it was super expensive to import tobacco at the time. Doing it and showing off the bottle you kept it in quickly became kind of like a social tradition. Think like the American Psycho scene where they're showing off business cards. Very. And in part, it became like a social habit because if you gave another member of the court some snuff in greeting, you could just kind of flex on him about how cool your bottle was.
As one does.
I'm saying him because, like a lot of things, it was a traditionally a masculine habit, but everyone in the court did it. And so, the way these things will go, snuff bottles pretty quickly became like a status symbol and a sign of how into art and like how cultured you were. Yeah, kind of like, I saw a lot of people compare it to Rolexes too, which I loved. Where like, because it immediately summons up that the image of the guy like checking his time in a really obvious fashion so you can see he has one.
The image of the worst customer in the antique store?
Yeah, and then you're like, I can't tell watches apart, so like, I have no idea.
If you'd brought in a pocket watch, you might have impressed me, but now you've just annoyed me.
Yeah, I can only tell antique watches apart. If you bring in a modern one and you try to show it off, I'm just be like, you're wearing a watch. They all look the same.
That sure is the time. Congrats.
So, Chinese snuff bottles quickly became beautiful objects. Two of their most important things was the size. They had to be palm-sized. you had to be able to whip it out and keep it in your hand, and it was just like a wonderful, lovely little thing you kept in your hand, and they had to have a very pleasant tactile sensation because you kept it in your hand most of the time.
At what point do they get, like, fidget spinner attachments?
Well, actually, I was going to mention that most of them had a stopper with a little tiny spoon. Does that count?
Sure.
Is that like a fidget spinner?
Listen, anything's a fidget spinner if you've got enough ADD.
Nice.
Can confirm.
So you start seeing stuff bottles that show up with really, like, ornate carving, really interesting materials. You saw porcelain, jade, other precious and semi-precious stones. I say other because pretty much the entire range of what was available in that area, chalcedony, cinnabar, etc., ivory, wood. Someone mentioned rhino's horn. I think that lumps in with ivory.
It's a little different.
It's a little different, I guess.
It's less like a tooth and more like a fingernail.
That's fair. The rhino's horn was actually because it was supposed to, like, enhance its medicinal properties, since in traditional Chinese medicine, rhino's horn is, like, a ingredient.
Which is why we have significantly fewer rhinos than we used to.
Unfortunately. Thanks for that, Gwyneth Paltrow. You also see tortoiseshell, metal, and pottery, in addition to the most common, glass, cut glass, and carved glass. Later, you would get into what I'm most familiar with is clear glass bottles that have interior paintings.
Ooh.
I actually thought it was really interesting that right about when this was happening, the Chinese had actually reinvented a lost glass technique that had originated in Rome.
Oh.
It's called cameo glass, where you take a glass bottle and dip it into another color and several colors and then cut it. To make, like, an image of the bottle. And that was a Roman glass technique that had been lost for thousands of years, and Chinese artisans pretty much rediscovered the technique. And the reason we have it is because of them. And I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
And if you see a lot of that on snuff bottles because it was a really, like, fancy, ornate way to decorate them. They're actually called inside painted, which I hate as a term over interior painted.
Because not enough people know what interior means?
Yeah, it's like, that's such a... it's not a difficult word. Why did you... Huh. So it would be a painting of either imagery or sometimes brush calligraphy. It would be an inch or two high, given that these bottles were at most 3 inches high. That's pretty impressive.
Wow.
And they would use tiny brushes, usually bent at a right angle, and lie on their backs to paint them so that they would get the most range inside the bottle.
Why does the painter have to be on their back?
I do not know, but a well-respected expert in interior-painted snuff bottles had revisited the art several times and come to the conclusion that that somehow gave you a better range.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, you know.
Well, we've all learned something today, haven't we?
Haven't we? One of the cool things about snuff bottles is the really tight age range, because pretty much with some flexibility on either side, you're really only interested in Qing Dynasty pieces, which is a range of 1644 to 1911, which is a lot of time, but it's still a closed time range, which makes collections easier.
Okay.
And around the 1600s, those Jesuits, we're going to get back to those. I have written them down as Jesuit and Jesuit accessories. In the Qing Dynasty, the Yongzhen and Qianlong courts are some of the most highly prized. Those were artisans that had worked very closely with the Jesuits, and they had begun teaching a lot of European enameling and glass painting techniques with Chinese artisans. In fact, earlier Emperor Kangxi was so intrigued with the Jesuits' art forms that he'd opened a glass house to teach artisans European glassmaking techniques. So for a pretty, like, short period of time, you actually get these snuff bottles that have European and often, like, very specifically Catholic iconography because the Jesuits were collaborating. And those are some of the most desirable snuff bottles in the world.
Oh.
Another really interesting thing is the existence of the winter snuff bottle.
Sorry, what?
Yep.
All right, I already love it.
Yeah. So the Jesuits brought glass blowing. Or European glass blowing, as the Chinese already had their own glass making.
Yes.
But the problem is that the glass snuff bottles in a lot of the northern climates, they broke when it got cold.
Oh.
And some areas close to the mountains, it got real cold. So you would actually have to have a second, or third, depending on how rich you were, stone or porcelain or precious stone for winter, because those wouldn't shatter in the cold.
Oh.
I thought that was so cool. So yeah, like the advent of stone and precious stone and later porcelain was actually just because a glass was too fragile, and you would really only bust it out in the summer when things were warm.
What a charming solution.
Isn't it? And what a flex, too. Because, like, if a guy he rolls up to you and he's got that carved chalcedony, like, snuff bottle, like, you know, like, oh, that's not his only one. That's his winter snuff. Other countries actually manufactured snuff bottles. specifically to sell to China, because snuff didn't really take off the way it did in China, the Chinese courts specifically.
Well, not in bottle form.
But yeah, everywhere else you get boxes are way more common. The Japanese made ivory and lacquered wood bottles, and in Thailand and Nepal, you actually see either smithed metal or little coins that have been, like, fused together and hollowed out to hold snuff.
That is really cool.
They're so charming. Some of them are on, like, necklaces.
Aw.
Isn't it? So most of these, like I said, you kind of like start looking at the end dates of snuff bottles being 1911, except when it comes to interior painted snuff bottles. Because those didn't really take off until about the 18th century. And even by the times doing snuff was very passé, even to the current day, people make the interior painted snuff bottles as just its own like unique art form. Just a little tiny beautiful painting.
I mean, it is an incredible way to flex on everyone with your artistic ability.
It really is, and they are absolutely insane to look at, some of them.
Not only can I paint on glass, not only can I paint miniature, but I can do it on the inside of a fucking bottle. You think your ship in a bottle is impressive? Bitch, please.
Yeah, like, come to my house.
Witness.
Try to do this.
Lie on your back and see if you can make this work.
Yeah, how about that? All right, that's what I thought. You come to my house? So that, like, snuff bottles actually do tend to kind of fall into two large camps, generally, is, like, authentic snuff bottles that were used for snuff, and then interior painted snuff bottles that are just art.
The truest form of art.
The truest form, which is the flexinist art. There is some overlap because a lot of the, like, older 18th century interior painted bottles would have been used, but because they were gorgeous, a lot of people didn't want to put snuff in them.
Fair. Fair point.
So eventually this all tapered off around the 19th century. Farmers began growing tobacco in China, around which you see mass-produced plain porcelain or clay bottles that will show up, and snuff became actively pretty passé in the 1920s.
All right.
So, are you looking for them? You want some now?
Of course.
Good luck, because a lot of people still make snuff bottles of all kinds, because they are objects of artistic and cultural significance.
Oh, so we're gonna have a bit of an issue telling the old ones apart from the new ones, because I'm guessing the technique has not changed much?
No, it hasn't.
Once you perfect it, you don't really go back and fuck with it.
Yeah, no matter how deep I dug, the clearest information I could get was just that, like, you really have to spend a lot of time around the older ones. If you're into snuff bottles, it would really behoove you to, like, really get into the books and maybe join a local club so that you can handle and really, like, even just looking at a lot of them, because it's going to come down to a sort of interior sense of, like, judging what's old. It's, you know, I hate delivering that news, because it's just like, I don't know. Like, good luck. Get good. My advice is always get good at this point.
Well, it was a dream while it lasted.
I mean, the good news is that if you're into the interior painted bottles, kind of anything goes. There aren't a lot of people who are going to look down on even a newer one if it's well made.
Yeah, because it's still a goddamn masterpiece.
Yeah. If you're into the other snuff bottles, and ideally, of course, bottles that actually carried snuff and were used, a lot of people actually do have a specific need to collect those pieces that they feel were used objects. So I guess stage one would be decide what it is that you value about a snuff bottle. If it's just the beauty, then you can kind of just go ahead.
If you're in it for the aesthetic.
Yeah, if you're in it for the aesthetic, then, like, I have good news for you. It's not going to matter. So it's really good to kind of narrow your search down and maybe, like, pick a kind of snuff bottle you're into. Some of the people I've seen, carved stone specifically, cut to clear glass specifically, cameo glass, interior painted, of course, specifically precious and semi-precious stones. Some people actually get really granular and get into certain motifs. This is another one of those, like, really fun rabbit holes to go down if you do get into it, is that the quality of, like, a lot of the Chinese, like, symbols that'll be on snuff bottles and other art pieces is that since Chinese is, like, a tonal language, a lot of the, like, represented symbols are homophones or other, like, tricks of the language.
Puns, you might say?
Kind of puns, yeah. Because, like, the word for bat and the word for fortune are more or less the same word with a tonal shift.
Okay.
So, like, an image of bats is usually, like, a suggestion of good fortune. So that can be really fun to get into, or just mythical creatures. I know a lot of people are into those. One of them.
Yeah, mythical creatures.
I found one that is a three-legged toad full of coins.
I love it. It's my new best friend.
It's such an amazing cryptid. I love it. Way to go. maybe you're into pastorals or like city scenes, but like I said, narrowing it down is going to be very helpful to starting to figure out how to tell the old ones from the new ones. Two things with snuff bottles are really good is to look for residue that suggests it was used.
Oh.
Most people really do not do snuff that way, so there's a pretty heavy chance that this is not modern snuff. And just general wear on the glass. For snuff bottles, you'd be looking for wear on the top, where you uncap it, of course, and the bottle where you'd be putting it down. If you've got like a natural asymmetrical wear on those two spots, you're going in the right direction.
Okay.
One really important aspect of them is that the spoons are still attached to the lid.
Oh, the little spoons! I had almost forgotten about the little
spoons. How could you forget the little spoon? You scoop it out and you take a snort of the snuff. A snuff of the snuff, if you will.
Oh.
And also, you're going to have to come prepared. You better come correct. These are expensive. I'm sorry, we didn't lead you into a collectible that's cheap. They start at 100 and pretty much go up from there.
Well,
those like European motif and like Catholic motif ones I was talking about, those have actually started going for the tens of thousands.
Damn.
It's pretty easy to hit the thousands when you're talking about certain kinds of carved stones, especially stones that are becoming harder to come by. Big surprise, ruby is going to get you a bit. And yeah, some of them are carved from solid ruby.
What?
Imagine that flex, right?
What?
Yeah. And like qualities of jade. Jade has always been very collectible, especially for snuff bottles. Jade is actually one of the easier semi-precious stones to age. Not necessarily color, although that does kind of play into it, mostly because it accumulates micro-scratches over time.
Oh.
I find that identifying older cut jade from newer cut jade is actually pretty easy when you get the hang of looking for what wear looks like on these like softer stones.
Huh.
And new jade is always like glassy, perfect. And old jade should be smooth, but kind of rough. But yeah, that's already in the hundreds there. I think the interior painteds are actually some of the more affordable ones that I've seen. I usually see those in the straight 100, 150 kind of area.
I mean, more than fair considering the work that went into it.
Yeah, that's, again, it is absolute little tiny labor of love. They're all hand art, so like, for a painting of that kind of skill, you're really getting off cheap there. And they're my absolute favorite. I'm really, really into reverse painted glass, interior painted glass. Every time you look at it, it's like a whole new level of like, holy shit, I can't believe they did that. And that's snuff bottles for you. Do you have any questions or?
You have delivered a very satisfactory lesson on snuff boxes. I have no question.
Snuff bottles, thank you. Boxes will be a whole other topic.
Oh no, I've completely fucked the lesson. I have to start over.
You simply funked it. Oh man, good news for people who don't like the fact that we swear. We're just going to replace it with Carnackyisms.
Oh man, check out our Carnacki episodes on the Terrible Book Club podcast because they are a hoot and also a holler.
They're so fun. We have a lot of fun with them.
Oh man, so that's snuff bottles.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sources include Collector's Weekly article on snuff boxes, Christie's.com, Chinese Snuff Bottles Collecting Guide. Collectors Weekly again, interview with Chinese snuff bottle collector Vincent Fauzone Jr. He is a wealth of information. It's a really cool interview. WorthwhileMagazine.com, its article appraising Chinese snuff bottles. Snuffbottle.com, because we needed one.
There's always one.
Phyla Museum, that's the Philadelphia Museum. Collections 210296, a snuff bottle collection.
Ooh. The end.
The end.
If you would like to talk about more Chinese snuff bottles, or suggest other episode topics, or just say hello, you can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. You can also connect with us on Facebook through our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends, and join us on Tumblr at antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com.
If you liked what came into your ears today, feel free to scroll on down to the bottom of whatever you're listening to this on and leave us a review. Even an incredibly heinous review does us some good, so go wild!
One star, Ken immediately forgot that they were snuff bottles and not snuff boxes.
I hate Ken specifically for that. Go to hell. That was fake. That wasn't me saying that. Sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We also have a Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks where you can listen to deleted scenes and help support the show. Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and getting us ever closer to our goal of releasing bonus episodes.
And just getting us through these troubled times.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Goodbye.
Bye.